I'd like to welcome you to this class today on hard questions. Hard questions. Here's a hard question that was handed to me. I don't know who contributed this question. I believe it was a teenager who had only come once or twice. But I want to read it as it was written. And then we're going to look at some aspects of this question and try to answer it today. This is exactly the way he wrote it. In Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, God says that he knew us before he formed us in the belly. Then God would know if we were going to heaven or hell. How could such a merciful God create us and then send us to hell? All right. I find a lot of things wrong with this question that are based on a lot of error and just improper thinking about God, but nevertheless it was turned in, and so I'm going to try to answer it. Let us read the verse in question. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 says this, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, that's the verse he uses to come up with all these statements. Let me read the statements again. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, God says that he knew us before he formed us in the belly. Then God would know if we were going to heaven or hell. How could such a merciful God create us and then send us to hell? Okay, he bases that all on Jeremiah 1, verse 5. I don't know how. This is a prophecy about an individual named Jeremiah. We're going to see some things about God today that are going to generate some questions in your mind that I can't answer. I don't know if anyone can answer them. Does God really know when every single individual will be conceived? Is that what Jeremiah 1 verse 5 is saying? Some girl that got raped last night, now she's pregnant or something, did God ordain that millions and millions of years ago? I don't think so. I think Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 is a prophecy about a man named Jeremiah. It's an individual prophecy where he was saying about Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." There were a few individuals in history whose births were prophesied, like Jeremiah, John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were specific prophecies that we have, and we have to be careful about taking those specific individual prophecies about people like John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Jesus, and then making a general doctrine out of them about all of us. And I'll try to answer this a little bit more clearly. Somehow he comes up with a statement in his question, "Then God would know if we were going to heaven or hell." Again, I don't know how he gets that out of Jeremiah 1 verse 5. I don't know who this individual is. And then the last thing, he says, "How could such a merciful God create us and then send us to hell?" Now, this is one of three questions that have been turned into me about the subject of hell, which I'm going to try to answer all of them because each one has a different flavor to the question. I know the thought of hell is a fearful one. To some, it is very repulsive. It is certainly hard for some people to reconcile a place called hell or a lake of fire with what they think God to be, which is usually limited to two aspects or two attributes, love and mercy. But God is a whole lot more than just love and mercy. And when people do understand his greatest attribute of holiness and believe it and understand it and accept it by faith, they have no problem understanding the concept of hell, or the reality, I should say, of hell. Of course, I'm concerned in this question here about the tenor of these words, and the tone of the voice of the person that wrote this. I tried to mention this in our introductory lesson at the beginning of the year, that we have to be careful about the tone of our voice and the tenor of our words when we ask questions about God. Isaiah 45 and verse 9 says, "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth." In other words, if you're going to strive with somebody, let it be with the other people on earth. "Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." And so many of these questions about hell are often asked from a position where they immediately think God is at fault. That there is some unrighteousness with God. There is no unrighteousness with God. And yet so many people ask questions where they take that stand, that the premise of their question is, well, God's at fault here. Listen to it again. How could such a merciful God create us and then send us to hell? So let me try to answer this. I'll give you 4 points, at least maybe five if time permits. But I want to say to you, number one, I want to make this clear. God has never sent anyone to hell and never will. God has never, ever, 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 ever sent anyone to hell, and he never will. I'd like you to look at the words that Jesus spoke in John chapter 5, and make sure you turn there. I want you to see this with your own eyes, because I got to have you see this with your own eyes. Because it's I'm going to try to illustrate a truth here about God that you've got to understand this the rest of your life. God has never sent anyone to hell. Now, there's a lot of people in hell, but it's not because of the Lord. Let's start in verse 21. "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Now, I don't know about you, but I weigh the words of Jesus Christ very heavy with anything I believe. Why? Because he is the truth. Please notice verse 22. "For the Father judgeth no man." For the Father judgeth no man. It's not his judgment that sends someone to hell. He is a judge. But a judge just simply pronounces a sentence on somebody else. Notice then what else it says in verse 22, "but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." He has committed all judgment unto the Son. So the Father judges no man. He has passed all judgment to his Son, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do at judgment? Turn to John 12. What did Jesus do at judgment? John 12, 47 says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Number two, Jesus Christ has never sent anyone to hell and never will. We've seen God judges no man. We've seen Jesus Christ judges no man. You need to know this, because if you're ever going to go out on visitation, this question is one that's going to come up all the time. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? Your answer needs to be just like that. He never has. When they ask you about Jesus Christ, your answer needs to be immediately. Jesus never has. There's not one person in hell today because of Jesus Christ. Not one. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto you, they shall judge you in that day. Well, let's see the fulfillment of this. Turn to Revelation 20. Let's look at that final judgment. Who does the judging? Revelation 20. This hasn't happened yet. It's just prophecy. It tells us what's going to happen. For time's sake, let's just read verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. They're pretty clear. The dead were judged, it says, out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According to their works. Now, based on all other verses of Scripture, and that's the only way to properly interpret the Bible, in verse 12, what do you think those books are? It talks about the book of life. Okay, that's where the names are written. But then it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural. And the books, plural, were opened. Notice two times the word books, plural, in verse 12. What do you think those are? The Bible. How can you come up with any other conclusion? What did Jesus say to the rich man in hell? The rich man in hell said, send somebody to my brethren. He says, I got five brothers. They've never heard this, that they don't come to this place of torment. He said, but if somebody were raised from the dead, I know my brothers would believe. And what did Jesus say to them? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, that's all they need. They just need to read the books that I have written. Let them believe what the book said. So, it is not God that sends anyone to hell. It is not Jesus Christ that sends anyone to hell. Listen, it is justice that sends people to hell. This is a hard question, but I think the answer is very easy. God has never sent anyone to hell. Jesus will never send anyone to hell, but justice will. The books will be open. Let me illustrate. I think I've done this before, but let's say all of us were residents of Eden, New York. The judge in Eden, New York does not walk around and say, let's see, you're going to prison. You're going to prison. You and you, you're going to prison. You're going to prison. You, 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 and you. You're all going to prison. The judge doesn't do that, does he? Is there any judge that has ever existed that does that? Not if he's just. The judge doesn't go around determining who goes to prison and who stays free. What does the judge do? The judge does nothing. He does nothing. It's us that do something. And then when we're accused, we're brought to the judge, and then the judge consults the law books of the town and says, now according to the laws of the town here, you have got to spend 15 to 20 years in prison for that. That's called justice. The judge didn't determine that. The law determined it. We need to know this because people don't understand this today. It's not going to be God. You know, some people got this Calvinistic idea of predestination, foreknowledge, foreordination, where God, way back millions of years ago, before the earth was ever formed, said, okay, someday, let's see, I'm going to create an earth, and they're going to sin, and they're all going to fall, and there's going to be about 8 billion of them in history, and about 90% of them, I'm going to ordain them to go to hell. They don't have one single choice in it whatsoever. and then I'm going to save a few of them. That's some people's concept of God. They think we're predestinated. I'm going to talk about predestination in future weeks. Foreordination, foreknowledge, what are those things? I believe the Bible has simple answers on those too. But there's some people that actually have that concept of God as a judge. Where he just before we ever existed said, okay, this person's going to be born, they're going to go to hell, they're going to hell, they're going to hell, they're going to hell. This one I'm going to save, they're going to hell, they're going to hell, they're going to hell, they're going to hell. There's nothing they can do about it, they're going to hell, 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 heaven, heaven, hell, 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 hell. No judge does that. No judge does that. In society, you can be a good citizen and enjoy freedom, or you can break the laws, crimes, and then meet the judge. And then when you get there, he just has to open up the books and says, well, okay, let's see what the books say here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. That's the 66 books of the Bible. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. It doesn't say the dead were judged by God's foreordained plan or God's predestinated plan, but they were judged by those things that were in the book according to their works. According to their works. I don't know, the whole concept to me is quite simple. God has never sent anyone to hell. Jesus Christ has never sent anyone to hell. Justice is what sends people to hell or to punishment. We'll talk about hell, what it is and what it isn't, sometime in the future. These are just questions that have come in. Number three, God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to be saved. Let me give you a bunch of verses on that. John 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God the Father. What about God the Son? John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn, but to save. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 18:14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, over and over and over again, we see that it's God's will that everybody be saved. We've already studied, and I don't have time to do this before, but we've already studied in Hard Questions earlier this year, the seven witnesses of God. Do you remember that? The seven witnesses of God. I can't recite them all by memory, but there's nature, there's the conscience, there's the law of God written in the hearts, even of unbelievers. Unbelievers know what's right and wrong because God has already written in their hearts what's right and wrong. There's the witness of the Holy Spirit who works ceaselessly all across the world to every soul that has ever lived. He has worked to try to prompt them to come to God. There's the testimony of the written word, the Bible. There's the testimony of the incarnate Son of God, Jesus Christ, God, who actually appeared to man in the flesh. So man would know there is a God, Jesus Christ. And then there's the witness of the church. Our witness, our evangelistic efforts. I don't know if that was all seven, but these are the seven witnesses of God. And you just start with the first one, nature. And the Bible tells us in Romans 1 that the witness of nature is so great, so powerful, that God says there's not a person that's ever lived who is inexcusable because of just the one sermon of nature. Nobody has an excuse. And so God has worked through his seven witnesses. The witness of God is greater than the witness of man. I'll tell you what the problem is. It's man's heart. Can't tell you how many people there are, church-going people, going into Protestant churches, Catholic churches, Baptist churches, and so on. But boy, as soon as you bring up Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear a thing about it. I got my own religion. And then there's Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and so on and so forth. And secularists and so on and so forth. And you bring up the name of Jesus Christ, I'll tell you what, and they get offended. Did you ever notice how it's not Allah who's cursed on television? It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. It's Jesus Christ. That name that is above every name. I'll tell you, that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, God does not foreordain who will go to heaven and who will go to hell, just like a judge does not foreordain who will go to prison in society. I've already made that point, but I wanted to write it down. Man has a free will and has what we call soul liberty. The word whosoever is found in the Bible 163 times. That's a lot, isn't it? The word whosoever. What does whosoever mean? Whosoever. 163 times. Now, not all of those mentions are about salvation. Some of them have to do with offerings and so on and so forth. You've got to keep them in their context. But the Bible is a whosoever book. It's a whosoever book. Whosoever will may come. In Romans 10, verse 13, probably a verse that you all know by memory, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 70 times in the Old Testament you'll see the word whosoever. 93 times in the New Testament you'll find the word whosoever. Now the word, the New Testament is only about 1/4 of the Bible, and yet 93 or most of the references to the word whosoever is found in the New Testament. Whosoever, 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 whosoever. It's God's universal call. His universal call for all men to come, all women, all children. The presence of this word so often in the Bible denotes free will and soul liberty in approaching God or staying away from Him. You know you have that liberty today. And you exercise it. You came to church. You came to Christ. You weren't forced or compelled. You weren't some kind of a robot. If man does not have a free will, you're going to have to take the word whosoever and take a black magic marker or a Sharpie or something, and 163 times you're going to have to go through your Bible and blacken it out. Man has a free will. Now let me ask you a hard question. And I don't want you to answer this because I don't think anyone can answer this question. Some questions we might not be able to answer. So please don't shout anything out when I say this question. But the question is, does God know everything? Does God know everything? I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah 19. You've got to see this with your own eyes or you're going to think I'm a heretic. Jeremiah 19. You've got to see this with your own eyes. I wouldn't believe it if it wasn't in the Word. But I believe the Word. Jeremiah 19 and verse 5 says this, "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Does God know everything? He said, the atrocities and the evil that has that men have invented has never come into his mind. Do you think a million years ago God knew Joseph Mengele would take a bunch of little Nazi or a bunch of little Jewish boys and girls and take their skulls off their heads and while they were still alive do scientific experiments on their brains in Nazi concentration camps? Do you really think God knew that was going to happen? You think God knew that man was going to invent a god named Baal? They would take their children and a little children, bind up their hands and feet, and then place their children alive in the fires and burn them to Baal. Do you think God knew that evil? Look, when we say God is omniscient, what we mean is this. God knows everything there is to know about creation, about the sciences. You just take the sciences, whatever they might be, alphabetically, anthropology, biology, botany, and chemistry, and you just name all the sciences there are, and God can tell you everything there is about it. Everything there is about it. And when we become God's children, He knows everything about us. The Bible says He knows our down sitting, our uprising. He understands our thoughts afar off. Why? Because He watches us as children. Just like so many of you, good fathers and good mothers, when your children were growing up, you just stared at them, you just memorized them. You knew their voice, you knew their mannerisms, their characteristics and something. You just watched your children at all times. But brother, I can't believe for one second that God knows anything about evil. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, man is the inventor of evil things. In the book of James, in chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. He not only doesn't know evil, he can't be tempted with it. Turn to Jeremiah 32, verse 35. We just saw a statement where God himself, talking about himself, said, neither came it into my mind. I don't know about you, but I tend to believe God when he says something. When he said that atrocity never ever came into my mind once, I believe God. In Jeremiah chapter 32, and verse 35, this is very similar, almost a repeat, but it is in the Bible twice, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Jeremiah 32, verse 35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which, by the way, became the basis for the Greek word Gehenna, which means hell, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Now here's the statement again. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. God is saying this. I never one time thought man would do something like this. So my question is, does God know everything? Perhaps I think in its simplest form, a very famous verse that sometimes we don't really think about what it means, is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, when it says this. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Who knew no sin, that we might through him be made the righteousness of God in him. That word knew in 2 Corinthians 5:21 comes from a Greek word which means to be aware of, to perceive, or to understand. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, who was not aware of any sin, who perceived no sin, who understood no sin. I believe Satan is the inventor of evil. I believe God taught that. In Ezekiel 38, we see about the origin of Satan. God took the careful time to tell us about the origin of Satan. He said these words beginning in verse 14 of Ezekiel 28, Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy greatness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary. God didn't say, I did this to you, I did this to you, I did this to you. He kept saying, thou hast, thou hast, thou hast, thou hast. It was Satan. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Jesus said in Matthew that hell was created for the devil and his angels. The Lord was telling us there in Ezekiel 28 that Satan was a self-created sinner. God cannot be blamed. He kept saying, thou hast, thou hast, thou hast. You defiled yourself. You lifted up your heart because of your beauty. Iniquity was found in thee. He said, I didn't make you do that. I believe God gave Satan and all of the angels a free will just as he did to man. And gave him soul liberty just to do as he pleased. And he chose evil. He created evil. Satan did. He fell because his heart was lifted up. He became a self-created sinner. It is all Satan's fault. Would to God that instead of people saying, how could God? I wish people would say, how could Satan? Start blaming him for everything. But Satan gets into the hearts of people and always tries to turn things around. In Matthew chapter number 4, we have this description of Satan. In verse 3 it says, And when the tempter came to him, he said. 1 Thessalonians 3:5 says, For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, because by some means the tempter have tempted you. Notice he's called the tempter. Satan is the tempter. Someday Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. And even though men and women are, boys and girls are going to be born during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ on earth, that reign is going to be characterized by what for 1,000 years on earth? Righteousness. Righteousness. Man will do righteousness for 1,000 years. Why? Because Satan will be bound and be unable to tempt man. Boy, we just need to quit blaming God for evil. We need to quit blaming him for judgment. We need to quit blaming him when someone goes to hell or to a lake of fire. God has never sent anyone to hell. Jesus said, my Father's not going to judge you. That's what Jesus said. I don't know. I believe Jesus. Do you today? I just believe he said, my Father's not going to judge you. And then Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. So the words that we said, that's going to be your judge. Sounds like the Bible is pretty important, doesn't it? God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. Does God really know who's going to be saved and who isn't? I want to encourage you to be patient with that. Our time's up today. I'm not going to answer that, but I am going to answer that in upcoming weeks. I don't know about next Sunday. Talk about things. Sometimes people do take obscure things like foreordination and predestination and foreknowledge. I think there's a tremendous answer when you study and understand the other book called the Book of Life. When you understand the Book of Life, I think you will see that God does give man a free will. He does give man soul liberty. Where man ends up is man's fault. So I didn't like that question. I didn't like the way it was worded. But because it's worded that way, I just tried to answer it the way it was worded. But I do want you to ask yourself, does God know everything? And I wouldn't argue about it or be contentious about it with anybody, but just ponder it yourself. Take a couple months, take a year, and ask the Holy Spirit before you start talking. Why start talking to people? They don't know the answer to that question. Ask the Holy Spirit. But I see sometimes in the Bible where the Lord said, it never came into my mind that man would do that. Never. It would come into my mind that he would do something like that. One time, God even repented. Remember that story? The days of Noah, it says God repented that he had made man. He changed his mind. He grieved him in his heart that he had ever created man. Now, if God had predestined everything, why would he act that way? If God had 1,000,000 years ago said, I'm going to make man and they're going to sin, they're going to do all this wicked perversion and ungodliness and murder and violence and so on and so forth, why would he get so grieved in his heart that he'd flood the world and drown everybody? Why would he? If he knew all along was going to happen. When it says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents, why? Why would they rejoice in heaven if it was all determined? Well, they're going to get saved anyway. Well, it's his turn. Let's see. It's April 30th, 2006, time for him to get saved. God determined it before the foundation of the world. So let's watch this happen. Now, why is there rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents? Maybe it's not all foreordained. Maybe anyone can get saved who wants to be saved. Maybe there will be in heaven people there out of every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every people. All right. It's man who's at fault. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word says you have never sent anyone to hell. Jesus, I believe every word you said there in John 5. Then Jesus, you said, I'm not going to judge anyone. I believe you. I didn't come to condemn, but to save. You said the word, the law, justice is what condemns people. Not the judge, justice. Lord, thou art righteous altogether. You've never done anything wrong. Help us, Lord, to know how to answer people when they ask us this question. And when, Lord, the hard question I pose today, help us to very humbly ponder it and ask the Holy Ghost to show us these things. Now we pray the Spirit of God might move among us in this next service and in the children's church, churches, and thank you for the workers. Anoint them afresh today. And then please be merciful and save souls that would come to thee. As they come halfway, meet them, Lord, and show them your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.